Guillotine blades are angled, supposedly because that makes them better. But why would that make them better? And actually, are they the best design that's out there? Let's take a look at a real historic guillotine blade and make some measurements. Then I'll tell you a little bit about the theory of cutting, after which we will build a full-size guillotine with the help of Jon from Proper Printing to actually test blades with different designs. So, what's an actual guillotine blade like? What angles and size are we even talking about historically? Well, we got the opportunity to go to the storage of the Hague Historical Museum and measure up an actual, real guillotine blade from 1810. So, big thanks to them. The people from the museum have been amazing. It's a bit of a strange blade, but it would be mounted something like this. And I know you're just as curious as I was. It has probably been used, but it's not verified. Anyway, it's angled at 45 degrees, which is much steeper than some popular depictions show. It's sharpened from one side only, like a chisel, but at a very low angle. So low, in fact, that we couldn't get a good reading on it with the tools we had at hand, but probably around 13 degrees. It's between 4.8 and 7 millimeters thick, which is surprisingly inconsistent. But on the other hand, it was 1810. Making sheet metal was probably really hard. It's 70 centimeters wide. It weighs a little over 5 kilos, we guessed, for just the blade. With the wood that holds it in place, the carriage, it would have probably come in at around 10 kilos, which is about the weight of two bald eagles for my American friends. And here, at the Prisoner's Gate Museum in The Hague, which is a subsidiary of the Hague Historical Museum, we can see that the knife falls for about 180 centimeters. Sadly, we couldn't get into the enclosure, but the blade angle of this complete guillotine was roughly 49 degrees. So, for us, that's close enough to 45. So, now for the theory. Cutting takes place on a spectrum. On one side, we have crack propagation, and on the other is smooshing. On this footage where we cut a watermelon, you can see that the blade cracks the watermelon and that in fact the bottom of the blade, the sharp bit, is often not even in contact with the material that's being cut. It just pushes the watermelon apart and crack formation does what we usually think of as cutting. But one glaring question remains. How does the crack start? On the other side of the spectrum is smooshing, which is exactly what it sounds like. If we zoom into the sharpest chef's knives so that their apex, their very edge, is as big as a log, atoms would still be the size of sand. It really, knives are just pushing their way through, like a stick through butter. The pressure that's put on the material locally is higher than its strength and it just kind of moves out of the way. And if the material can crack, it will eventually do so. This happens over and over again in most materials as the crack wanders off course and a new one has to be initiated. You can see this too on the watermelon. One important part of cutting is how small you can make the very edge because that will focus the total pressure on a smaller surface area. But another important part is what you need behind the edge in order to push it into the material. Basically, the bevel angle of the blade. This blade might be very sharp in the sense that it has a small cutting edge, but it's obviously not going to cut most materials because the bevel angle is just too high. As a fun little side note, for soft, sticky materials like cheese, it's common to use a steel wire instead of a knife because you just want the edge and you don't want all the material behind the edge. It takes up too much space, it generates too much friction, while the edge itself doesn't have to be all that sharp. Anyway, as you might have noticed, for something to crack or to smoosh, it has to move apart. That's very hard to do when it's pushed together, but much easier when it's pulled apart already. You can notice this very well when you prune a tree. If you cut from the underside of a branch, it's very hard to cut because it's compressed by the weight of the branch. But if you cut from the top and maybe even pull the branch down more, you can cut right through. So for our guillotine blade, there's a few things we want. We want to have a sharp blade to reduce the forces we need to pierce the material. We want a low bevel angle so that the material doesn't have to move apart very far. And we want to put the material in tension so that it wants to move apart on itself before we even start cutting. Well, slanting the blade won't make it sharper, of course. There might be an argument to be made that you have a longer blade, which means that every part of the blade cuts less material and therefore that it will stay sharper for longer, but I don't think that's relevant in the case of a guillotine, because these they were used occasionally and not all day, every day. But by slanting the blade, however, the bevel angle does become smaller in a way. Driving straight down a mountain is way too steep, right? Which is why mountain roads are always windy and angled. Well, the same happens when a material encounters the knife at an angle. But I'm not sure if this matters. You see, if we take a cucumber that's cut halfway through, it doesn't matter if I hold it at an angle. The material is still pushed apart in exactly the same way. The blade needs to travel further to get to this halfway point, so it would presumably take less energy for every centimeter the blade travels. But it feels like it should take the same total amount of energy to cut through the material. Here's a fun little tangent for you. Different blade shapes cutting through something feels a little bit like a similar problem to a ball rolling from A to B. A straight line is the shortest path, but it isn't actually the fastest. If you go straight down first and then change direction, that's faster already. But the fastest way is actually a specific curve called a brachistochrone. So just to be sure, we will include a blade in that shape. Okay, back to cutting. As you probably know from experience, slicing works much better than cutting straight down. That's because by just pressing down, you compress the material. But by adding horizontal movement along the edge of the blade, you will pull the material along to create tension right under the blade. And believe it or not, moving your knife diagonally or having a diagonal blade is the same thing when it comes to cutting a round object. I'm pretty sure that this is theoretically sound, but it just feels wrong. Holding a blade in a slightly different orientation shouldn't suddenly put the material in tension. So let's actually just build a guillotine and test the difference between the blades. I've asked Jon from Proper Printing to help. You should go over to his channel if you want to see the video in which we design and build it all the way from some bug-infested logs. And if you want to hear the hilarious story about how we decided to go for a full-size guillotine instead of a small-scale model. Here's the setup that we ended up with. We have five blades. A flat blade, a blade angled at 30 degrees, a blade angled at 45 degrees, a pointy blade with sides of 45 degrees, and a blade in the shape of a brachistochrone. The bevels of the blades are all ground to roughly the same angle and sharpened with the same file. The guillotine itself is a little over 3 meters tall, and the bottom of the blade falls about 2 meters before it hits the material. As a testing medium, we have these mats that are also used for katana practice. The idea is to see how many mats each blade can get through. We have mounted a telephone on the guillotine to measure the G-forces. Hopefully that gives us some interesting information about timing, max forces, and maybe even a nice little curve. You can say that we have brought a guillotine into the modern era, because now we have to install an app and create an account in order to use it. It might even want to know our location. I hate that kind of stuff so much. In fact, let me tell you how location checks have cost me thousands of dollars while we test the guillotine. I created my Instagram and TikTok account in the Netherlands, because that's where I live. But that means that I cannot enter into any creator programs, because neither platform offers those here for some reason. This brings me to the sponsor of this video, NordVPN. If I had NordVPN running, and I would have shown up in basically any other country when I made those accounts, I could have made a couple cents per thousand views. With about 300 million views on those platforms, that would have been quite a lot of money. How much exactly is besides the point, which is to say that it's not anyone's business where you are, unless you give out that information willingly while knowing the consequences. Companies often use your general location in order to extract more money from you, or in my case, so I cannot extract money from them. And the biggest problem is that it happened when it didn't even occur to me that they would look at it or that it mattered. With NordVPN, you have an encrypted connection with a server, and from that server to the rest of the internet. Simple automatic location checks will only see the location of the server instead of your location, and you can choose one of their servers in over 100 countries. On top of that, NordVPN has Threat Protection Pro, which automatically blocks sites that are fake or malicious and annoying ads. So if you want that, especially at the times when you don't expect to need it, use nordvpn.com/noart for 4 extra months on a 2-year plan. They also have a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you can try it out. The watermelon was strangely anticlimactic. Just choop. But it seems to work great. Let's go for one mat. Just as if it's not even there.
When analyzing the accelerometer data from the phone, we sadly noticed that it clipped even on the bounces, and that the sample rate turned out to be too low to really see what happened at this short moment. It happens.
Ja, dus nu twee, hè?
Fuck, dat is
weer. Jongen, jongen.
Shit, zeg.
Drie stuks.
Nothing. So, at this point, we started to suspect that our methodology would not pan out as we have hoped, because we only have six mats in total. Four. No change at all. Five. Yes. Six for all the marbles, straight through.
Shit.
That's all the mats we have, and we expect that the flat blade is the worst, so we have to find another technique, which we thought of at this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of having a fixed height and seeing how many mats we can go through, we will have a fixed amount of mats, and we'll just lower the height for each blade until it doesn't go through anymore, and the lowest blade wins. After measuring, we found that the rope didn't stretch any significant amount, so we can measure the height from the rope, which makes things a lot safer. This is also a good moment to say that we measure the height from the point at which the blade rests on the material, because each blade has a slightly different length. So let's try the flat blade at 1 meter.
Okay, let's go.
Nothing. But at 50 centimeters.
Okay.
Okay.
Too much. Hop.
Yes.
Hey.
Finally. All right. And at 75.
Yeah.
Yep.
There. And go.
Not quite. And 85. Yes. With a small bounce even. So let's try 80. Not quite. So 85 is the number to beat. We switched to the 30 degree blade and dropped it from 80 centimeters because we expected to do a little bit better.
And
did not go through. We were surprised, to say the least. We noticed that it didn't hang perfectly straight because the knife is heavy on one side. So we fixed that and dropped it from 90 centimeters.
Top, alle camera's, kan hè?
Ja.
Dit is echt reet interessant, hè?
Nope. But basically, yes. We forgot to weigh this knife, and as it turns out, it's 2% lighter, so we taped a piece of wood to it and tried again from 90. No. However, we noticed another thing, namely that because of the angled blade, the carriage was turning upon impact. That can cost a ton of energy, because as one side slows down, the carriage turns and becomes wider and pushes harder into the wood, which only makes it worse. So we took the power plane to the corner and tried again from 85.
Nice!
Precies!
Oh, dit is geweldig.
Marvelous, just like it stops and then it goes back. So, anyway, basically it's the same as the flat blade. Okay, on to the 45 degree blade.
Okay, is die eraf? Ja.
Dit was 85.
Huh. Color us surprised. At 95 centimeters, it did have a perfect cut, but that's still worse. Then, the pointy blade from 85. We have high hopes for this one. In fact, we expect this to be the best by quite a margin. But
3, 2.
Aim. What? No. However, in the moment we were so focused on the turning of the carriage that we totally forgot to think of the fact that the blade might just be hitting the wood. In fact, I believe that the blade is just stuck in the wood here, so much so that we can barely get it out. And it's clearly not super crooked, but still we expect the problem to be the carriage that gets stuck instead of the blade just hitting the wood. So we tried the blade from 95, which again seems to hit the wood. and it doesn't go through at all. And we still don't know what's going on because of our incredible tunnel vision. So we decide to drop the blade from 1.5 meters, 150 centimeters, which of course goes straight through, even if it would have hit wood. And then we decide to go back down again to search for the actual number, to 110, which goes through, to 100, which goes through, back to 85, which goes through, of course, because now it's not hitting the wood for some reason. And so we go even lower, which goes through, and even 65, but that's too low. And luckily, I tried to push it through, so we know that it didn't hit the wood. So now the new record is 75. On to the last blade, the Rakisakram. The weight was close enough. Only at this point do we really see that the blade can move a lot and that some blades might have been hitting the side. Mm. To be clear, the damage you can see is from the carriage and not the blades. We decide to move forward because it's the end of the day. The sun is setting and this is the last blade. We put the mats on the side to give the Rakisakram its best shot because otherwise it would just be like one of the angled blades. Falling from 85 centimeters, it did not go through. And you can see in a slow-mo that the blade is turning the carriage a lot. Of course, having the mats on the side did not help. And from 95, it did not go through too, but it sounded like the tip hit wood. From 100, it still doesn't go through. And now we actually see a piece of wood missing.
You see it on this one.
Although with hindsight, it's only a small piece, and on the high speed, you don't see the blade struggling at all until it hit the mats and starts rotating. So I actually think that hitting the wood in this case wasn't necessarily the reason the curved blade did so badly. I think it's because we put the material on the side, which makes the carriage turn a lot more than the other blades. So, the results. What can we say? Well, we had two problems. One is that we hit the wood sometimes, which makes some of the results questionable and others completely invalid. But the more interesting problem we had is that the carriage rotates when we use slanted blades. And this is a problem that the people back in the day also would have had. It's possible that they had a fix for it, but it's also possible that they didn't, and that flat blades would have given them more consistent results. The pointy blade has the benefit that it focuses all its energy on a tiny part to start with, making it start to cut already when we just let it rest on the material to get the height. But it also has the benefit of being symmetrical, so it doesn't turn the carriage. Like the true scientists always do, we have to conclude that more research is needed, which is exactly what we will be doing in part 2. So make sure you subscribe. I will do some research on this rotating problem. Was this a problem that they had back in the day too? And if so, did they have a solution? And we will do some upgrades to our guillotine and to our testing methodology to get clearer, better, more, well, better results. In this case, the pointy blade won with 75 centimeters instead of 85. But I'm not betting the farm on these results because it's just a little bit too messy to my liking. If you have ideas to make the next test go smoothly, please let us know in the comments. I hope to see you in the next video.
Want another one?
Sure. Het kantelen.
Ja.
Waarbij je dus die twee palen uit elkaar duwt, dat is gewoon niet.
Hoe eigenlijk?